Hey, everyone, welcome to Locked On Lakers for Wednesday. Brian Kamenetsky, Andy Kamenetsky. Don't look now, Andy. The Lakers have won three straight, and Anthony Davis continues to dominate. That's next.
You are Locked On Lakers, your daily Los Angeles Lakers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Thanks to everybody for making Locked On Lakers your first listen of every day, Monday through Friday, no matter how or where you get your podcasts. Always free, never behind a paywall. And Locked On Lakers on YouTube is where you can go to join a fast-growing Lakers community of fans, people who are really interested in the team and are helping that thing grow, quite frankly, faster than we expected that it would. So really appreciate all the support there. Do want to let you know that today's episode is brought to you by Prize Picks. First-time users can receive a 100% instant deposit match up to $100 with the promo code Locked On. That's prizepicks.com, promo code Locked On. So, Andy, the Lakers win a laugher. Like, this one was, like, basically over by the end of the first quarter. Lakers ran away. Like, this was a laugher, a genuine blowout. 123-92, the Lakers get their first cruise control win, I think, of the season over San Antonio. They are now 5-10. They've won three straight. Things are looking good.
Yeah, they won this game. The first quarter, they were up by 14, and they ended up winning every single quarter from there. And without bothering to do the research, because I don't think it's necessary, I'm going to say this is the first time this has happened for the Lakers this entire season, where they've won all four quarters of a game. It feels like a safe bet for a team that's 5-10. And often struggled to score and or to defend. But it was really good, too, to see in bringing up how they won all four quarters, how they never let up at any point either. Like, and I realize how ridiculous it sounds to talk about a team like the Lakers actually letting up, but you can lose focus. I don't care how bad you are as a team. Frankly, we saw last year's team, who was pretty abysmal, lose focus all the time. They seemed very determined to make it so Anthony Davis, who had an absolutely monster game, 30 points in 28 minutes, they seemed pretty determined to make sure he did not have to step on the floor in the fourth quarter, and they made good on it.
Yeah, I mean, look, I mean, he was, I think he technically speaking started the fourth on the floor, but like they got him off quickly, right, which is good, because had Anthony Davis gotten hurt at the beginning of the fourth quarter of that game, Darvin, I'm not sure, would have made it to his car. Fans would have been upset. So, yeah, I mean, like, this is what you do. And I don't want to say, like, this is what good teams do to bad teams, because that is too presumptuous to put the Lakers in the category of a good team. But this is what you do to bad teams, is you beat them pretty handily. You know, the Lakers didn't quite manage that against the Pistons. That was a more competitive game, but they handled a Brooklyn team that's struggling, or certainly was then. And look, the story here really remains an incredibly dominant Anthony Davis, who, you know, has come through with some massive games when the Lakers have needed him to be good without LeBron James on the floor. And again, I think you mentioned the stats, you know, 30 points, 18 rebounds, six of six from the line, 12 of 19, incredibly efficient. The guys on Spectrum noted that, I believe this is on average, he's taking more shots closer to the rim, like the average shot's like 7 feet or something like that, which is closer than he's been in years, I think they said, over the course of his entire career. So he's really doing stuff at the rim. This sort of, the mid-range stuff is there, but this notion of Anthony Davis as like a floor stretching big and all that stuff, like that's not part of the game anymore. He's taking barely 1 3 a game.
Well, I mean, you can
and he's being incredibly productive.
I mean, look, you can stretch the floor by being able to hit reliably from 15 to 18 feet if you're Anthony Davis and you're somebody that is always going to be guarded no matter where you have the ball. I mean, AD is going to be guarded very often, even at the three-point line, even though when you think about the averages, it doesn't even make any sense to bother doing it. Just by force of habit, because he's Anthony Davis, you're going to pay attention to him wherever he is. But if he's somebody that actually provides, you know, 18, 19 feet of space by hitting, you know, a mid-range jumper, that is space comparatively being created than, say, you know, somebody who really only has, you know, the range as their rim. But he's just playing right now at a level that it'll be really interesting to see what happens when LeBron comes back. LeBron missed the fourth straight game with that strained groin. I've said this before, and I still really believe it. Until LeBron gets a full contact practice under his belt and then can see how he feels afterwards, I do not expect him to play. This is my totally speculative, unsourced opinion, but that was my take a few games ago. I just didn't think that until he actually does full contact, he's going to play. But the dynamic of what happens with AD when he gets back, and the guys on the Spectrum Sportsnet postgame show were talking about this. Like, I think it was James Worthy who brought up the idea that LeBron is obviously going to be LeBron. He's obviously still going to be great, but there's a certain amount of yielding maybe that needs to happen from him in order to bring out the best in AD, which can bring out the best in the Lakers, but also make things easier for LeBron. And it made me think a little bit of like a decade ago when Dwayne Wade eventually said to LeBron in Miami, "This is your team. Like, you are the guy." And that was really the only way to make it work and not become just a continual awkward, my turn, your turn thing. Like, oh, and you know, Dwayne Wade was Dwayne Wade. And even though LeBron was better than Wade, that was his city. But Wade needed to do that. I wonder if there's something LeBron needs to do in order just to make it clear, like, this is your thing.
Well, no, I don't actually, because I think the way that this has been done the last two seasons, like, look at every first quarter that they play, is LeBron and the team basically trying to get Anthony Davis going. And, you know, I think where we'll see the biggest difference is fourth quarters. Like, you know, how can they?
But that's part of what I'm talking about.
But I'm to your point. I don't think that's necessarily a LeBron thing or whatever. I think that's a lot of that is AD. And well, look, if LeBron needs to tell Anthony Davis, you know, go keep doing that stuff, but I don't think LeBron's team owning, for trying to think of a more elegant way to say that, I don't think it's predicated on scoring. Because Anthony Davis is going to be the recipient of passes, of plays, of things like that, as often as he is going to be sort of the orchestrator of them. You know, he's going to be running off screen and roll. He's going to be on the move. He's going to be doing a lot of stuff. Maybe LeBron has to remind him of a mentality thing, perhaps, but I don't think it requires a whole lot of adjustment in terms of play. I disagree with that because
I think there's always been a narrative and an expectation that LeBron would be the guy that takes over in the fourth quarter. Like, LeBron is the guy that brings it home, because LeBron, by function of who he's always been and that position, has always been the guy that brings it home. So I think there is a mutual adjustment that's required.
We'll see.
You're talking about fourth quarters.
If he wants to tell him, that's fine. But I mean, I just don't see it as a major problem, because I don't think, again, I just don't see LeBron's thing. That's when they were winning, in 2020, there were plenty of games where Anthony Davis took them home. You know, there were plenty of games in the playoffs where Anthony Davis was dominant late through games and all that stuff. And, you know, both of them are performing very well. Some of this is AD. The other part of this that is, I think, interesting is both what it looks like when Anthony Davis has LeBron back on the floor, which theoretically could make it, by the way, easier for him to continue to play at this level, because not only do you have defenses focused on LeBron, you also have LeBron helping you do the thing that you're doing. there's also just kind of a schedule thing here as well that I think is important and kind of reflects on the entire team and speaks to what they're doing right now. And we'll talk about that next.
Locked On Lakers brought to you by BetterHelp. Unfortunately, life does not come with a user manual. So when it's not working for you, it's normal to feel stuck. Navigating any of life's challenges, whether professional or emotional, can bring on anxiety or uncertainty, whether it's a career change, new relationship, becoming a new parent. I can personally speak to how much therapy has helped me during a really difficult period in my life for me and my family. And sitting down and talking with someone was huge. And BetterHelp has connected over 3 million people with licensed therapists. It's convenient, accessible anywhere, 100% online, no waiting rooms, no traffic, plus it is affordable. So just fill out a brief questionnaire to match with a therapist. If things aren't clicking, you can easily switch to a new therapist anytime. Learn more and save 10% off with your first month at betterhelp.com/lockedonNBA. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/lockedonNBA.
Quick little housekeeping update here, Andy. Russell Westbrook left the arena, I should say, with a wrap on his right hand, a thumb injury that the Lakers are going to continue evaluating. X-rays were negative, but no word, a little early to know exactly what the deal is there, how bad it might be, whether he'd miss time or whatever, but he did leave the arena with his hand wrapped up. And it's his right thumb, which if you are a point guard, a right-handed point guard, is an important thing. So we'll
yeah, it was interesting. During the game, there was a, I don't remember exactly when it happened, but there was a sequence where you could see his hand got kind of mashed against a defender. And afterwards, he was continually like just intermittently sucking on that thumb, like you do when you have a cut on like a finger or a hand and you're just trying to keep it from bleeding. And I thought maybe it was some type of like scratch or a thing like that, because it didn't seem to be in excessive pain or anything like that. So I thought maybe he was just trying to keep it from bleeding and having to come out of the game. But apparently there was more to it. He had a nice game, 10 points, 10 assists off the bench. Really did a great job, in particular, looking to involve Wenyen Gabriel and Thomas Bryant. Thomas Bryant played extremely well, 15 points, 9 rebounds off the bench. And I think the second unit is shaping up in a way that in particular works well with Russ. When you've got Bryant and Gabriel and Austin Reeves, like a lot of activity, a lot of rim seeking, a lot of sort of good chaos that I think Russ does very well with and I think likes to play. He talked afterwards about really enjoying rewarding bigs like Wenyen and Thomas for running the floor, and like he wants to make sure that they keep doing that. He will talk after every single game about just pace and just wanting to continually push tempo
very short sentences.
Yeah, in very short sentences.
I think it's a lot of that though. I think the comfort here is, and I think why it works is, you know, you're seeing this is where, like, for example, having Bryant as a big who is able to score a little bit, who has a little bit of offensive skill, is helpful, because Russ has been at his best as a sixth man when the Lakers do not need him to score. He's had moments where he can attack the rim and it looks good. He hit I think 2 for 5 on Sunday night from three, you know, a couple wide open catch and shoot in rhythm, the type of threes you would want Russ to take. But you don't want him, you know, dribble, 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 create a shot, whatever. Attack the rim, catch and shoot, stuff like that. So the offensive game for him, when it's worked as a six man, has come in the flow and the distribution to teammates. But you need guys who can score. You need guys who can finish, so that you get the best of both worlds, where you don't have Russ doing the bad Russ stuff, whether out of poor decision making or out of obligation, and you get the best of it, which is him really setting the table nicely, making good passes and all that kind of stuff. So
along those lines, really quick, before we get back to AD, Kendrick Nunn having another game, 13 points off the bench, second game in a row where he's been in double digits in relatively modest minutes. He got some garbage time down the stretch, but Nunn getting back to expected form, A, would be just great for the Lakers, period. But B, I think would be another element to that second unit, to your point, that makes it so Russ has an outlet to create buckets as opposed to looking for his own.
Yeah, I mean, look, and Schroeder looked a little bit better, certainly on Sunday than he did in his debut on Friday. But like, Kendrick Nunn being good makes a huge, like, they need a talent upgrade. Like, this part of what the problem was at the beginning of the year is they didn't have good players, and that included Kendrick Nunn being useless. And so, you know, you're adding, you know, Austin Reeves has been great, and I think it's not a coincidence that he's been great as you find, more constructive, good players around him. And like, that will help him be better. And, you know, Wenyen Gabriel has been nice, but you don't want to have to rely on Wenyen Gabriel to score. He had 2 points on Sunday, played a nice game, made some good contributions, hustling, making plays. You don't want him to have to score. Like, so, Schroeder being productive will help. They needed more good players. And if Kendrick Nunn can sort of low key get back to playable, it forces, it's the thing we talked about in training camp that we hoped would happen, where Darvin gets forced into making hard choices. Like, that's what you want your coach to have, is like, gosh, I have more good players than I have playing time. And to this point, up until guys got back, like, he was playing 7 or 8 man rotations in games.
He had more playing time than players.
Yeah, I mean, like, exactly. And so now you want that to change, and it seems to be on that path. Good stuff there. So to get back to AD for a second here, we were talking about, kind of what happens when LeBron comes back, what happens, this stretch of dominance for him. It's also going to be interesting to me to see what happens when the schedule changes back, because Brooklyn, Detroit, and now you look at San Antonio, who did not have Jakob Poeltl, on Sunday. Those are, the Nets have been a tire fire up front, especially defensively. They've been a tire fire everywhere defensively, but their front court's awful.
They're going to be fine. They got Kyrie back.
Right. The Pistons with, Stewart's missing, and again, not a good team up. And now you see San Antonio, not a good team up front without Poeltl, certainly be able to play defense. What it'll look like, do you carry this confidence through against better teams? Do you carry it through against better players, against better defenses and things like that? I don't say this to minimize what Davis is doing, because he's doing exactly what everyone, fans, media, whatever, has said. Go dominate, particularly with LeBron out. Like, you have to go dominate. And I'm not going to be like one of those people, but say, yeah, okay, yeah, but in terms of that thing that we've talked about, where the difference between Anthony Davis All-Star versus Anthony Davis first team All-NBA is sort of the difference between the Lakers hoping to hang on to a, play-in or whatever it is, and actually being a team that you got to go, okay, you got to take them seriously, if at least down the stretch, if they're around, because they have all NBA players and LeBron, and this is assuming LeBron plays at that level, which is a different conversation for a different show. But Anthony Davis is one of those dudes. And so now they have, theoretically, knock on wood, two of those dudes. And what I think is potentially useful about this stretch is, okay, fine, it came against three bad front courts. Sometimes it's what you need. Like, you know what? Like, you need the opportunity to dominate and get the muscle memory of what that is for 3 or 4 games in a row. And the Lakers take Tuesday out of the equation against Phoenix, then turn around and get 2 more games against San Antonio. Like, AD is going to have a chance to kind of lean into this a little bit longer. And so the hope is 4 or 5 games of it. Now it's a habit. Now it's something you've done. And so when you get back into the more difficult part of the schedule, you don't stop doing it just because the games are tougher.
Well, I mean, the Shaq, for example, you remember the games, obviously, where he would dominate against like a Dikembe Mutombo, like a really high-end defender. But you would also remember the games where he absolutely destroyed Keith Kloss, or he absolutely destroyed Greg Ostertag or some various member that the Jazz or, you know, tried to throw at him.
Sure, absolutely.
The Chris Dudleys of the world. You know, that's part of where you make your bones too, is where you're running around just ragdolling various 7-footers who can't do a damn thing against you. Like, that's as much where you build up who you are as a player and as anyone else. And frankly, the team, like the, you know, the Lakers have won.
That's what I wanted. Yeah. That's exactly where I was going to take it next.
Like the Lakers have won 3 in a row and yeah, they've won 3 in a row against inferior competition. And the Lakers have been an inferior team, but at the same time, championship teams beat the crap out of crappy teams. That's what you are supposed to do. Doesn't mean that the Lakers are en route all of a sudden to becoming a championship team or rounding in the championship form.
No, they're still 5-10.
I'm just saying opportunism, right. But opportunism is what all teams look to take advantage of, good or bad.
So I do want to make that point though about the schedule and where they are and whether or not these games should be taken seriously, not as a wins and losses that count in the standings, but like when you think about, are they turning a corner? Are they getting a rhythm? Because I do think a lot of the same things that I was just talking about with Anthony Davis apply to the team as a whole. So I want to talk about that next.
Locked On Lakers brought to you by Prize Picks. This is Daily Fantasy Made Easy. Prize Picks has the best NBA DFS prop game on the market. Prize Picks offers more NBA props than any other DFS prop operator. Pick 2 to 5 players, predict if they will score more or less than their Prize Picks projections, and they offer projections on any sport that you watch: NBA, NFL, MLB, NHL, PGA, college football, men's college basketball, women's college basketball, soccer, WNBA, esports, NASCAR, tennis, MMA, boxing, disc golf, Euro basketball, cricket, and more. Use the award-winning app on both the App Store and Google Play. Entries can be made in 60 seconds or less. It's that easy, safe, fast withdrawals. Download the PrizePicks app or go to prizepicks.com to sign up and play daily fantasy sports. First-time users receive a 100% instant deposit match up to $100 with the promo code Locked On. Again, do not forget to enter the promo code Locked On for that instant match at your sign up. If you are not playing Prize Picks, you do not know what you're missing.
So, you know, the Lakers are in a very similar situation, Andy, as a team, as to what Anthony Davis is doing, you know, feasting on the lesser portions of the NBA talent pool.
Believe it or not, there are lesser ones than the Lakers.
Apparently. Who knew? But like, you know, it's funny, like the order of stuff matters. And, you know, the Lakers, even going into the year, we all said like, hey, like this is a just terrifyingly difficult schedule. Like if you play well as a really good team and win half of those games, you feel good and you're seeing Golden State, and you know, this is before we knew that the Warriors were going to struggle. And like, you know, you're seeing, you know, playoff team after playoff team after playoff team. And then the teams that you thought might be more beatable in 2 games against Utah. Whew, well, that turned out not to be, you know, so easy after all. Portland, fringy, you know, team that was, you know, last year they weren't very good and got, no, they're right up near the top of the conference this year, playing well, you know, got their players back, and it's a good team. Even Sacramento, they've won 6 in a row now after Sunday's games, and like they're in the, you know, they're not in a play-in team right now, they're above that. And so like the Kings aren't a this was a brutal schedule. And you know, are they worse than a good team would be against that skill? Obviously they are, but they just haven't had a chance to get better. And so this is the first stretch where the Lakers not only got a little bit of practice in, which I think can be helpful, a lot of film, a lot of practice, but 3 or 4 games in a row against teams that are bad helps you develop the kind of habits and helps you get into the rhythm where you can see it work. And you can only do it in practice for so long. You got to see it work on the court against other teams. And the hope is, and we'll find out a little bit on Tuesday, at least for me, Andy, is whether or not any of this translates. Like if they go play a competitive game against Phoenix, particularly if LeBron doesn't play, that to me says, okay, they may be getting somewhere. Might be too late, but they still may be getting somewhere.
Well, here's what gives me some hope. in terms of it being real, or at least the possibility that it's real. You look at what they've had the last few games in terms of Thomas Bryant being available and no longer having to even consider playing Damian Jones, who was unplayable, or having to deal with no optionality in terms of size. Like, you know, we've talked about all season, Wenyen Gabriel has done a good job with what he's being asked to do and playing within his limitations. But beyond his limitations as a player, there are limitations with his size if you're looking for him to play a big man role. You know, Matt Ryan, you are not relying on him anymore for his shooting to try to overcompensate for everything else he can't do, which is everything else. Like, he is an exceptionally one-dimensional player. And, you know, that one dimension he has is valuable, but on balance, you know, it's Mike Penberthy 2.0 until he starts developing other things that he can do. Kendrick Nunn had been unplayable for a while, but the Lakers were forced to play him. Dennis Schroeder getting back, if nothing else, gives you more optionality. Russell Westbrook began the season starting. He is clearly now in a role that suits him better, suits the team better. Even thinking about Troy Brown, missed the first three games of the season, and he's now back, you know, just, and he's been playing well. Like, when you think about where the team began, looking at its absolute lowest with, remember too, Anthony Davis still feeling the effects of a back that had been bothering him in the preseason, to where they are right now. Again, not saying that it's all definitively real, but you can see at least certain trends that when you look at the specifics could make some sense, and that they've been managing also to do it without LeBron, even acknowledging the issues LeBron's had with his own scoring efficiencies and certain lapses that I think don't take place when LeBron is at his absolute best, whether with turnovers, whether defensively. He's still LeBron. He still is better than anybody at this team in orchestrating offense for other guys, that they've been managing to do these wins, even against lesser competition, looking cohesive. If nothing else, it is a sign that something real is happening right now.
It's a sign, at the very least, it's a sign that it's possible. You know, that, I mean, we're the Lakers weren't, like, they're not, I'm still not convinced they're good, but, you know, they weren't a 22% three-point shooting team. I think on Sunday they were up around 34, 35%. That's sort of where they've been. Which again, 33, 34, 35% doesn't make you a good three-point shooting team. It just means you're not, it means you're not catastrophic. It
means you're not dysfunctional.
That's my,
like, right. That is dysfunctional.
22% is dysfunctional. You can't, right. And it, like, you just, NBA players are going to be better than that at some point. So there's a little regression to the mean here in a positive way for the Lakers. I think one thing that is absolutely showing itself is the Lakers, after many years, are actually a pretty decent free throw shooting team. So that helps them. You know, they still turn the ball over too much. There's, you know, so there's certain signs, but they, like, there's bad, and the Lakers could be a bad team. They were a bad team last year. But there's bad, and there's 2-10 bad. Like, they weren't that bad. Like, I mean, like, I don't think the Lakers were a team destined to win like 12 games all season long, which is what that, like, what 2-10 like averages out to. You know, that's the pace you're on, like 12 or 13 wins. Like, they're not that bad. And so the what we're really gonna need to see over, you know, like, what is it? It's like 17 in the next 21 on the road. Like, that's, we're gonna find out some stuff. Is, okay, we know they're not great. We know they're not, you know, Phoenix. We know they're not Denver. We know they're not, you know, the teams at the top of the Western Conference. They haven't proven themselves to be that. But are they really Houston? Are they Orlando? Like, they're not. So what does it look like in between? And can they start to get themselves back 3 games at a time, 5 games at a time, 8 games at a time, closer to 500? To give themselves a chance around the trade deadline to say, we're still in this, let's make a push. And that might make a push with who they've got, but we're still there. And if you don't start, as Darvin said after the game, stacking wins, stacking positive things, then you're done. And you know, like this stretch of games, we said if they don't win some of these games, they're functionally going to be buried. Let's say you lose on Tuesday to Phoenix, you still have back to back games in San Antonio to win those. And now you've won 4 of 5 or 3 of 5, and like you come back home and you play Indiana, like that's a winnable game. Like, are you winning 5 of 9? Keep doing that long enough. 6 of 10, you're back in it. That's what they need to do. And they've shown that it's possible.
Well, let me ask you something, because you had just said, like, in terms of getting yourself at a level where you get closer to the trade deadline and you decide to make a move around that time.
Yeah, and I just – and by the way, I meant the trade deadline as, like – as a more of a marker of like how long this could take rather
no,
than
no,
like,
well, I,
you know, but I don't mean to clarify you. I mean to clarify broadly, but go ahead.
Sure, sure. But the reason I'm asking it isn't necessarily to pinpoint on the trade deadline, but as an overarching question, do you get a sense that they're going to wait as long as possible to possibly make a trade? Like try to go as long as they can before they decide that they need to make that type of commitment?
I'll be honest with you. I get what you're saying. I think very little. Well, this is something we should talk about for Tuesday's show. I think very little about what they're doing around the trade deadline, around trades, has anything to do with this year's team. To be perfectly honest, I think everything that they're thinking right now is about next year, is about what gives us the best chance to make a big impact. And I think it's less about trying to rescue this year. That is the impression I've gotten since training camp. And I just don't think it's changed. I think if anything, starting 2-10 reinforced that rather than changed it. But it's a great question for Tuesday. So let's carry that through. We'll get, I'm sure, updates on Schroeder. We'll get updates on LeBron. We'll get, Lakers are going to be on their way to Phoenix. Are they practicing?
Do you mean Russ? You mean updates on Russ?
We'll get an update on LeBron, update on Westbrook with the thumb. And all kinds of stuff as the Lakers.
Should also talk about Austin Reeves' game, because he had a terrific game. It's a few really good games in a row, which raises a question you mentioned on Twitter at Cam Brothers that we can discuss. How much is it going to take potentially to sign Austin Reeves pending free agent this offseason? So, and will the Lakers be in a position to do this, assuming they're even willing to spend that type of money in the first place?
Yeah, it's
will they lose a beloved white boy 2 years in a row?
Well, with a gap in between, right?
With a gap here, I'm sorry.
Gap, I'm the sorry. Gap year. Yeah, lots of questions for Tuesday. Lakers, big game, kind of a prove-it game for them against the Suns on Tuesday. The Suns, who have quietly, after a really like panic-inducing start, have the sec. I think they are tied after Sunday's games with the best point differential in the NBA. Record's not, you know, they're not like 14-2, but they're the second best team in the Western Conference. And they have the second highest, or they're tied for the highest point differential. Suns are doing okay. So it's good prove a game. So we'll Locked On Lakers on YouTube is where you go to get the show a little bit early, especially on non-game nights. So thanks to everybody for checking that out. And we'll see you on Tuesday.